So we need to try and move speedily and save any minute, any second that we have. I will allow that people can go out, grab tea and breakfast if they wish to do so. Let us start in with apologies. On my immediate right, Member Suma.
Thank you, Chair. We do have an apology for Honourable Member Dombela. He is off sick. And also Honourable Boy will try to be excused. He has got a welcome that he needs to attend to the other colleague that he is here. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, those are the two apologies. Any other apologies from panelists? I have before me Mr. Kwangwa, Honourable Kwangwa. That is here. No, that's not there. Honourable N.L. Kwangwa, he will not be able to attend. Reasons are not stipulated as to why. Honourable M. Shengwa is also not able to attend. Ndomela, the whip, have already said that Ndomela will not be able to attend. Those are the apologies. Can we get a mover and the seconder? Malisoma?
I move for the acceptance of the apologies as presented, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone seconding? Thank you. Honorable?
Chair, I support.
Okay, thanks. As a norm, I will allow members of parliament to introduce themselves and allow people who are going to present introduce themselves and senior management people who are here, but as they present, so that we save time. My name is Kiss Mabi. I'm the chair of the portfolio committee. On my immediate right, the honourable members and deputy ministers who are here, you're welcome. If I can then allow honourable members to introduce themselves quickly, let's take less than 5 minutes to do so, so that we try and save time.
Put my name as deputy minister in the presidency.
I am the federal deputy minister for excellence and administration.
My name is Soma, member of the committee.
Zani Dlamini, member of the committee.
Lemez Elibuel, member of the committee.
Smoke Mare, the member of the committee.
Sijama Tokongal, member of the committee.
Chairman Matiwa, member of the committee.
Good morning, Michael Carter, member of the committee.
Andries van der Weespijzen.
Veronica Lente, member of the committee.
We done. Okay. Members, did you introduce yourself? Okay, sure. All right, you are welcome. I have before me a copy of the agenda. We're going to start with a briefing by the National Youth Development Agency. According to the agenda, it says the chairperson, Mr. Yashin Pillay, will be doing the presentation. I don't know if that is in order. If not, we will then introduce the person who's going to do the presentation. Thank you and welcome.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. As you indicated, Yashin Pillay, NIG Chairperson. Joined by the Deputy Chairperson of the NYD, Mr. Ken Morolong on my left. On the right, Mr. Kato Ramakunga, the CEO of the NYDA. We also have NYD officials who are joining us for the presentation. Chairperson, if you allow me, the CEO, Mr. Kato Ramakunga, will undertake the presentation on the mandate and role of the NYDA for yourself.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to honorable members. I will take the presentation in terms of six sections. We'll focus on the role and the mandate of the NYDA, the objects and functions of the NYDA, and the key performance areas that we have deduced from the objects and factors of the NYD as well as the mandate, and the key performance of the years and budget allocation, as well as key programs that we have developed to deliver the mandate, as well as the issues requiring attention.
Excuse me, Katja. You have 40 minutes left to present your way. Okay, sure.
I will be as fast as I possibly can, Chairperson. The NYDA derives its mandate from NYDA Act number 54 of 2008. This act provides primarily for the NYDA as a unitary structure which is responsible for implementation of youth development programs, including mainstreaming of youth development activities by all stakeholders. The NYDA therefore plays a leading role in leading all structures of all sectors, both public, private, and civil society, in identifying programs and initiatives that can address the challenges faced by young people in our country. The NYDA Act provides for the objects of the NYDA. These are in main the development of the youth development, integrated youth development strategy for the country. The NYDA has developed a draft youth development integrated strategy for the country during the fourth democratic government, and this has been presented to the minister at the time. The current ministry for the fifth democratic government will be receiving a revised integrated youth development strategy, and this will be tabled to the relevant structure accordingly. We are also required to develop guidelines for the implementation of an integrated national youth development policy and make recommendations to the president. We are also required to initiate, design, and coordinate, as well as evaluate and monitor programs aimed at integrating young people into the economy and society in general. We are also provided to guide efforts and facilitate economic participation and empowerment and achievement of education and training among young people. We also partner and assist organs of state, the private sector, and non-governmental organizations and community-based organizations on initiatives directed at attainment of employment and skills development. We also require to initiate programs directed at poverty alleviation in urban and rural development and combating of crime, substance abuse, and social decay amongst young people. We also require to establish annual national priorities program in respect of youth development in the country. Also to promote a uniform approach by all organs of state, the private sector, and non-government organizations to matters relating to or involving youth development. And also to endeavor to promote the interest generally of youth, particularly youth with disabilities. The NYDA, in to respond to the mandate and the objects that I've made reference to, has established particular areas or the areas of focus that are derived from the Act that the work of the agency is targeted or geared towards. These include, amongst others, national youth service and social cohesion, economic participation, policy research and development, governance training and development, youth advisory and information services, and the National Youth Fund. The agency must, within its available resources, amongst others, implement the following directly: provision of career guidance, provision of access to information regarding products and services of the National Youth Fund, create and administer databases for employment opportunities for young people, provide financial assistance to youth to enable them to further their careers, provide financial assistance to small, micro, and medium enterprises and cooperatives owned by young people, provide mentoring services aimed at empowering youth in the economy, provide bridging programs for youth to facilitate the transition from school or training to the work environment. Also provide training regarding the concept and principles of entrepreneurship and business to youth, provide training relating to the personal development of youth, provide training and guidance relating to the establishing and managing of businesses for youth, provide training for unemployed youth to enhance their life professional skills which would enable them to be integrated in the economy, provide opportunities for training that will promote service to communities and the nation at large, and also provide any other services that may be necessary to advance youth development in our country. In this regard, having reflected on the NYDA Act, I would like to bring to the attention of the committee the fact that the NYDA Act number 54 of 2008 is currently under review. The process of reviewing this act is led by the presidency, as the NYC, we are a stakeholder in that process. To deliver the mandate that's provided for by the Act, the NYCA has designed key performance areas that allows the agents of positionings correctly to deliver on the mandates provided for by the Act. In this regard, we have developed or created 5 key performance areas to try and organize the work that we do. These key performance areas are 1, economic participation. In economic participation, we seek to enhance the participation of young people in the economy, social justice and integrated program. Education and skills development. In this regard, we seek to promote facilitation and provision of training and development opportunities to young people to enhance their socio-economic well-being. Health and well-being. Here we seek to improve the health and well-being of young people to allow them to productively lead fulfilling socio-economic lives associated with a responsible and sustainable nation. On policy and research, we seek to develop a body of knowledge and best practice in the youth development sector and the country to inform and influence policy development, planning and implementation. Under governance, we seek to ensure that NYCA operations comply with applicable legislations and regulations governing the NYDA as a Schedule 3A public entity. I'm now moving to the performance summary over the past couple of years. In 2010-2011, the agency had 49 KPIs, of which 42 of those 49 were achieved. In the 2011-2012 financial year, the agency had 70 KPIs, of which 63 of those were achieved. In 2012-2013, the agency had 55 KPIs, of which 47 of those were achieved. You will note the decline in the 2013-2014 financial year from 70 KPIs in 2011-2012 to 55 in 2012-2013 to 28 in 2013-2014. This was as a direct consequence of the review of the strategy, but also a realization that we need to be more focused and prioritize the areas where we seek to intervene directly as the agency in order to maximize limited resources that we have as an agency. Meanwhile, addressing other areas of youth development through facilitation and mentoring of youth development to be delivered by other stakeholders, both in the public sector, private sector, as well as civil society. In the next slide, I'm going to speak to the grant allocation over the past couple of years and indicate what has been requested and what had been committed to the MTEF communication and actual allocation in that particular year. In the 2010-2011 financial year, the agency requested R1 billion from National Treasury. The National Treasury had committed to provide R369 million for that year, and R369 million was provided to the agency in that particular year. In 2011-2012, the agency again asked for R1 billion. The commitment was 385 from National Treasury, and that commitment was 385. In the 2012-2013 financial year, once again, the agency requested R1 billion, and the commitment from the National Treasury in the previous MTE communication was 405 million. However, the agency was only granted 376 million, which was more than what the previous year's MTF allocation suggested or indicated. In the 2013-2014, which is the last financial year, we did not request any additional funding from the National Treasury. When we engaged with National Treasury, we had indicated that having reviewed the strategy of the agency and having committed to turn around the agency through governance processes and compliance issues and delivery of youth development to young people in our country, we would want to present a case to National Treasury, which is evidence-based. In this regard, we said to National Treasury, we are committing to spend what has been allocated to us in the APP. Having honored the APP, will go back to the National Treasury and indicate how we have used the money and present a case for us getting an increased funding in that regard. And in that year, the commitment was 396 million, but the allocation was 392 million. In the 2014-2015, the commitment was 408, which was honored by National Treasury. In this regard, I must indicate that in the MTEF submission that we are making to National Treasury, we are making a request of an additional 200 million rand funding, which is supported by clear business cases to us gain specific programs that we believe have succeeded and they continue to change the lives of young people of this country for the better. The key programs that the NYDA will be implementing and is implementing are targeting in the main unemployed youth, young women, youth in rural areas, young people living with disabilities, school-aged adult schools, youth at risk, youth heading households, youth in conflict with the law, and youth abusing dependency, creating narcotic based substances, including in school. The NYD will focus particular attention to education and skill development and economic participation at a secondary level. In this regard, the key programs that the agency has implemented and will continue to pursue in this financial year and the next financial year include, among others, the Small Matango Scholarship Fund, which was launched by the President of the country in March 2014. The fund is designed to encourage youth from disadvantaged communities to access further education opportunities and to excel in the area of academic strength. In partnership with this is implemented in partnership with major universities in South Africa, as well as the Department of Higher Education. The grant funding program will continue to be pursued. This program is intended to stimulate entrepreneurship, particularly amongst first-time youth entrepreneurs and survivalist entrepreneurs. This couples financial and non-financial services, including the grant itself, as well as entrepreneurship training, which is provided to young people, mentoring services to support these young people in their business ventures, as well as other business development support services, such as market linkages and assistance with marketing for the products and services that they do. The grant is offered at a maximum of 100,000 and is subject to detailed assessments which are conducted on the idea or the business plans that are presented by young people who seek support. We have also been implementing the Secondary Matric Right Program, which we'll continue to implement in the foreseeable future. The Second Chance Matric Program is designed to provide a second chance at passing matric by providing academic and other financial and other support to young people. In the first year of implementation, which was 2010-2011, the pass rate was 47%. Many lessons were learned from the first implementation, and corrective actions and improvement plans and strategies were implemented in the second year of implementation, which was 2011-2012. We saw the results of this in that the pass rate has increased in the second year of implementation from 47% to 80%. In the last financial year, 2012-2013, which was the third year of implementation of this program, we saw a pass rate of 77% with a greater number of students intake comparative to the previous financial years. I must say, Jefferson, that in this program, we are seeing young people actually passing the subjects such as mathematics and physical science with distinction. So it is a program that is working to ensure that young people are integrated in the economy and society of our country. We have implemented and will continue to implement the Youth Build Program. The Youth Build Program is designed to integrate technical skills training, education, community service and leadership development amongst our young people, specifically targeting adult school youth. Young people learn critical artisanal related skills while building houses and other community assets. In partnership with the Department of Human Settlements, local governments, expanded public works and FETs, this program has proved to be a success in providing much needed skills but also building the patriotism which is much needed amongst young people of our country. One of the programs that we are implementing, which will continue to implement, is the National Youth Service Program. This program is designed to provide young people with skills and service opportunities to serve their communities and to be the builders of their own communities and their own country. It's also aimed at instilling patriotism and encouraging young people to become active citizens of the country. They need to reinvigorate NYS within government and civil society. The issue is to reinvigorate national service and government and civil society. And in this regard, as the agency, we will be pursuing and engaging other stakeholders, specifically in government, to prioritize national service and to ensure that we create a national service program, the biggest in the country. In terms of research, the MIDA has established the South African Youth Development Institute in partnership with the University of Johannesburg. The intention of this institute is to develop high-quality, cutting-edge information and knowledge relating to youth development in our country, and to also better inform youth development program and planning and policy-making in our country. Some of the key issues that we would like to bring to the attention of the committee are as follows. The agency continues to find itself in a situation where a significant amount of its grant allocation goes to its salary bill. In this regard, it must be taken to context that the reason for this lie in the merger process that happened between the Umsobomvu Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission, which was governed by Section 197 of the Labour Relations Act, which provided for that no employee must find themselves in a worse situation than they were before the merger happened. In this regard, the agency had to take on employees from both institutions with no options of retrenchment or in reducing the salaries as it were. What the agency is intending to do in order to manage the high salary bill of the agency is, amongst others, limiting future salary increases to inflation rate. We are also embarking on a three-way HR-related project. The one project is the HR plan, which seeks to provide us with an ideal organogram, which the agency required to have in order to deliver the strategy of the organization as revised by the NYDA board in the past financial year. What we're also doing is to conduct a skills audit amongst all the employees of the NYDA with a view of determining who of the employees in the agency currently will fit the requisite of the new structure that will be required to deliver the mandate of the agency. We are also implementing a change management program which will assist us to manage the process of transition from the current organogram structure to the new structure. In this regard, I must indicate that we have taken a decision to engage the Public Service and Administration. I have met with the Director General at Public Service and Administration with a view of creating a pipeline where after the skills audit and the determination of an ideal structure for the agency to deliver on the mandate, the excess staff can be directed or can find opportunities in other branches that exist in government elsewhere, both in the three spheres of our government. In this regard, there is an in-principle commitment to assist the NYDA to engage with other departments and ministries that may have vacancies as and when this facility is determined and the requisite structure and the number of employees are determined to deliver the NYDA money moving forward in the new structure. I must say that Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, we have embarked on a turnaround strategy. The turnaround strategy has a dedicated section which speaks to cost containment. The enlarged section does speak to other additional initiatives or methods that we believe can be utilized to manage the salary bill going into the future. I am to present the turnaround strategy to the NYDA board in September, and once the NYDA board adopts that strategy, I believe that we'll be able to share the detail of that strategy with honorable members in the committee. But we are committed to managing the salary bill in relation to the grant allocation. Whereas I think while speaking to this issue, it is important and fair to indicate that the NYDA, given the nature of its mandate, which is mainly youth development, naturally the NYDA will to deliver on these programs that it has said to require a human capital intervention. So it should be expected that some significant amount of the allocation will go through the salary bill, because that's how we deliver our mandate in a number of our programs. Some of the key issues that we would want to bring the attention of the committee is that the access to youth development information, products and services of the agency remains a challenge for young people of our country, simply because of our limited number of full service branches. We only have 14 full service branches across the country, which is not sufficient to make sure that every young South African in every corner of the country is able to access the products and service offering of the NYDA. In this regard, we seek, or we will continue to pursue local the establishment of local resources in partnership with municipalities. It is our desire that we need to get a point to every local municipality in our country at least have a local youth office of the NYDA, where advisory services can be provided to young people and preparations work can be done for them to be linked with full service branches of the NYDA for them to access full suite of the NYDA products and services. In this relationship, the NYDA provides training and technical support to seconded staff and municipalities to these local youth offices. The municipalities are requested in the partnership the proposals to provide for infrastructure and the staffing requirement of these local youth offices. And I'm giving interest in performance space in this regard, in that 217 local offices have been established across the country, but only 181 of those have been operationalized or are functional, and young people are able to access information and advisory services from these offices. This matter was brought to the attention of the Standing Committee on Appropriations in 2013 in the fourth democratic government, and at that time there was commitment from the portfolio committee to assist the NYDA with the establishment of its local youth offices, and we are hoping that the fifth democratic government will also take up this commitment from the fourth democratic government and assist the agency in establishing local youth offices in all municipalities in our country. We're also looking at other methods of reaching young people. This includes, amongst others, the outreach programs, which we do through visits to communities in online provinces, which are far away from where our local, where our branches are located, to try and reach young people and make sure that they all access the products and service provision of the NYDA, as well as sharing with them other opportunities that exist in government and the private sector, as well as the civil society. Chairman, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. DM, would you like to... Okay. Chairperson, anything? All right. Okay, thank you very much for the presentation. I think listening to you presenting, something came to my mind. I in fact took this session as a, if it was in a marriage arrangement, I would say we were renewing vows to check whether we're still relevant in this relationship. I also reflected on it as a short analysis to say, here are we as the NYDA, are we still relevant? Here are we taking a journey forward from our establishment in 1994. You were not established last year when your journey started in 1994. So anything that happened before that, it becomes part of your history. What are your threats? What are your challenges? And what are your soft points? But most importantly, what came to my mind is the clients. Whether are they happy about you since your establishment in 1994? And the money that has been invested in this institution since 1994, has it bear any fruits? Are we able to get young people, anyone who was a youth by 94, is not a youth now. I also fall within that category. You were a child, so it is. I'm older than Buti Maname. So anyone who was a youth then is not a youth anymore. So are we able to go in committees and say, so-and-so is a product of the NYDA since 1994. This is how the NYDA has assisted him or her to become a prominent business person or an academic. So those are the things that came into my mind. I will pause for now and allow members to ask questions, and we should also have a way forward. Thank you very much. I see a member, let me note, Member Kadwa. Member Hado, who else? Members? Madamin, Member Kwang? No. Yeah. Member Nwadi, so why did I write Kwang? I apologize, ne? That's why there was a confusion this morning about Kwang being present in the meeting. And then Member Mutau, in that order. Okay, Member Mente and Member Van der Westhuizen, in that order. Oh, lastly, Manisoma, in that order.
Thanks, Chair. I have a few questions relating to the salary structure, the increased funding.
Please raise your voice.
Sorry, Chair, I've got a few questions relating to the salary structure, the increased funding application, and the energy turnaround strategy itself. Now, I think we've pretty much all agreed that the NYEA spends an unacceptably high proportion of its grants on the wage bill, 189 million rand out of the 408 million rand, out of the 408 million rand grant, which is near 50%. So this restructuring process that meant to kick off next month, I think, is a good idea if one of the consequences will be a reduction in the wage bill. But not, in reply to a parliamentary question I received from the minister in the presidency about 2 weeks ago, it was revealed that there are 10 executive management positions on the NYEA structure, six of which are vacant at the moment. All of those come at a price tag of over 1 million rand. The CEO earns 1.9 million rand, which is more than a deputy minister, and almost as much as the premier. And there are also 50 senior management posts, half of which come at a price tag of over 800,000 rand. So what I want to know is, will, as part of this restructuring process, there be a re-examination of the number of executive management and senior management posts? Secondly, I'd like to make a point that surely there should be a freeze on vacant posts until this restructuring process is complete. Now, many of these executive management posts were actually advertised in the Sunday Times about 6 weeks ago, which to me doesn't seem to make sense. Then I'd like to know exactly what is the nature of the restructuring process that is envisaged, what stakeholders will be part of the process, what are the timeframes for the completion of the process. My second question relates to a point you made about your request for an additional 200 million rand funding in the NTF. I think we're well aware, the Auditor General's told us in 2013 that the NYDA does have a track record of wasteful and irregular expenditure. At the time, he mentioned a figure of over 195 million rand over a period of 2 years. So I want to know, what is the intended purpose of these funds, and what is the nature of the solid business case that you referred to in the presentation? Thirdly, something else that you touched upon was the fact that there is a legislative review of the NYDA Act with a view to introducing legislative amendments and also retagging that as a Section 76 Act, which obviously has implications on the provinces. I'd like to know, what is the rationale for the legislative review? What consultation process will be followed in a review? In other words, which stakeholders are going to be part of the process? What is the impact of the review likely to be on the establishment of the provincial advisory board? I want to get a clear idea of exactly what those provincial advisory boards are, what institutional implications and budgetary implications are of the provincial advisory boards. My fourth question relates to the Youth Development Research Institute. When is it going to be launched? How many staff will it have? How much is it going to cost? How will its role and mandate differ from the NYDA itself, so as to prevent duplication, because your own agency does policy research work? And then finally, more comments, is that I'm surprised that it's taken so long to present the turnaround strategy to the board, that will only take place next month, given that, you know, the turnaround has been sort of in the offing for the last 18 months at least, and I'd like to get an idea of when we as a portfolio committee can expect to be told about the turnaround strategy. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Cardinal Members. Can I make an appeal that the please try and stick to the agenda? Ask questions that are relevant to the presentation and the agenda. We still going to have opportunity to ask questions related to finances and any other thing, the structure. I think if you have listened to the presenter, to the CEO, he said in September they will finalize their turnaround strategy. So I don't want to represent them. I'm just cautioning to please stick to the agenda, because what we're discussing, their role, their mandate, and issues requiring immediate attention. So let's not try to bring issues that are not relevant to this. We'll just be wasting time, because we're not going to get answers for that.
in that order. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the DA and the CEO of the NYDA. Chairperson, I would like to more address this to the DM, because maybe now that the DM is here, we'll understand exactly what is the ANC concern as far as the key problems of the NYDA. You know, if you look at the key problems of the NYDA, it raises questions which we raised earlier on by the chairperson. The reason being, the key programs are not detained. Because they are not detained, as a result, the NYDA end up doing, not giving us a clear medium-term expenditure framework, because the programs are not detained. So as a result, there is a bit of a problem, and you find the NYDA having an obsession with a billion every financial year. Now, but the main reason for that is that if the NYDA GM can just try and get an assistant, can we listen to CEO in the chair, please? Get an assistant from the Treasury. How do you table the programs of a sector or of your portfolio? Giving an example, if you talk about administration, you say this is so much allocated for administration for NYDA, and what is going with that, how many vacant posts are there, who is where, and how much is he getting? And this is the information that we always ask them from the NYDA. It is not coming forth. It is a problem. Now, we went and debated and I agreed that the budget needs to be there, but we are still pleading. Please make sure that you follow the standardized framework. You are still not there. And like what she has said, nobody is a youth anymore. You are paid. It's to the right and correct practices. We are having for this, even for the second and for the third time. Now, secondly, you are requesting for 2 million rands. You see now, 200,000, eh? Oh, okay, you see, that's even worse. You are asking for that amount. Maybe it's true you need it. Maybe it's not, you don't need it. But as far as the committee is concerned, we don't know whether you need it or you don't need it. We're looking at the house. We don't know because your program is lacking the details. It's not a detail. We can't reach and touch and measure. Our job is oversight. We need the choice. Our job is oversight. If we don't see, we don't approve. Because we don't see. We have to see, touch and measure. And that is not there. So at the time the interest at the end is actually, you will understand exactly why the ANC problem. The same for the problem. And now the grant allocation. You know, if you are married and you give your wife a 10,000 rand, then just how much? No, I made the grocery. Will you be happy? What do you do with that? No, it's grocery. I did the grocery for 10,000 rand. You expect every cent according to the money bills. It's not us, it's the law that you are following. You expect that you account for every 480 million to a cent. You don't give that to us. We can't even say, why are you not shifting those money now that going for a medium in October? Why is there that understanding? Why? We can't. You are holding on to the information. But you are accounting to us. And you hold on to the information. And you're expecting us to do the other side. If that's not fair. Lastly, Chairperson, he's looking at the problem. I'm sitting on the problem because there's three things must happen. Eh? That's why we allocated this money. We have got 14 benches, GM, and we have got something like 217 offices. Out of them, 131 are not functioning. Tell us what is the problem. For you, your planning, when you establish those offices, what is the planning? Eh? how were you going to capacitate those officers? Why do you call appropriation for assistance after you've done what you've done? Right? You need to clarify that. And still on your program, where you said you talk about the youth risk and the youth conflict law, remember that when you're saying SEO? Now, if you look at that, what does the program do? Because my decision is that for the similar budget, don't you have duplication there? What is going on there? And to add my last one, Jay, I'm short. I would like exactly what the chair said. I, but about give us meat. You tired of bones. Nenzen, from 1994 to now, Nenzen, what did you do? How many entrepreneurs have you developed? 200, 1, 2, 3, 4, what happened? Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Madam. You see, what makes this journey more difficult is that the kind of marriage that they're in is an in-community of property. So, Yasha, because you're not married, you must go and search more about the type of argument. I'm told it's the most difficult one, because what is yours, it is mine. What is your wife, what is my husband, it is. What is mine, it is his, and what is his, it is also mine. So that makes things very difficult. So in that type of marriage. Member Motau?
Thank you, Chair. In the greater scheme of things, you know, 400 million rand doesn't look like much when you consider that we have a national budget of trillions of rands. But in this particular instance, because of the nature of the beast, we have to ask the question, is this agency still relevant now? And it's not the responsibility of this parliament, because you are established, to demonstrate to you that you are relevant or not. It is your responsibility to demonstrate to us that you are, and I'll give you examples. The language is very good in the document. We talk about youth, we talk about integrated national cohesion, we talk about patriotism, we talk about that. But the practice, in fact, seems to negate that, because the complaints we get over and over again is that this agency is not inclusive, it's exclusive. It's almost as if it is intended for the youth who are politically aligned either to the SACP or to the ANC. Now that's a stigma. Now that may be true or not true, but it's the job of the agency to make sure that you go out there and dissipate this, because until you do that, the thing remains politicized. The question for you really is the agency aware of this? And if so, what are you doing to make sure that this development agency becomes really a youth development agency that can achieve the objectives of national cohesion, that can engender patriotism among the youth, and can be seen to be doing those nice things that we're talking about, skills development, education, and stuff like that. Thank you.
With your respect, I want you to clarify the statement that you made, it's a serious allegation, that people who are seen as beneficiaries of the agency are either affiliated with the FCP or the UFIC. I need you to clarify that, because this is like a public platform. You are a member of parliament, you make such an allegation. We don't know how true is that. If you can please clarify us on that, and if you're not sure about what you're saying, I would humbly request that you please withdraw.
And you're preempting yourself. How can I say something I'm not sure about? Look, I am a constituency leader. I live in a community, and we hear these complaints all the time. We mentioned earlier on the extended public workspaces. I have any number of complaints from my constituency members who say, go to that. I've already instructed them. Next time you go to one of these things and you ask the question about your political party affiliation, take these people and bring them up to me. You will recall that in the last parliament, I raised this very same issue in parliament, and the then deputy president, Kalima Mutante, requested that we bring in these things. So this thing is there. And my point is that it doesn't really matter whether Mutau believes this or doesn't. It is the perception that's out there. And I'm saying the agency has to address it, otherwise, if it is true, it needs addressed. If it is not true, it needs addressed. So, it's not about me.
There's nothing, there's no truth about what you're saying.
No.
It's an assumption. So, no, I don't want us in the platform communicate such assumptions because they are not helpful.
No.
Unless you're saying so-and-so went to NYTA, applied for funding, then they passed him or her his political affiliation. Remember that?
Hello, yes, thank you. I think it's not in order to say. I think it's not, yeah, the mic is in order, but I think the statement is not in order, and I think it is unfortunate that such a statement gets made in this committee here, and I think it's also very mischievous, because we have discussed this previously with the youth organization, and we have raised in every constituency, even including the ANC constituencies, the youth feels that your organization is not visible. It's a very popular organization. All youth in the country knows about your organization. But they do not, they will ask you, where is this organization? They know about you, but they don't know where are you. And youth all over, in every constitution, they feel that they are not benefiting. All youth feel that they are not benefiting. So I think it's mischievous to make a statement to say that certain youth are benefiting, ANC youth and the Communist Party youth, because very prominent Communist Party youth and ANC youth in my constituency, raising the same question, the honourable member is raising that they are not benefiting. So I think we should not make assumptions like that. It's not fair. It is not fair.
Okay, now let us create the member.
I agree with the member. And that's the reason I'm raising this thing. If there are people who are party affiliated, who are also excluded, it just strengthens the case that there is an exception out there. And our job as legislators and as people who oversee is to make sure that this agency is perceived as what it's supposed to be and not be perceived otherwise, because if that happens, it loses. And so what the member is saying actually confirms what I'm saying. You see, he is saying there are members of the ANC, young members of the Communist Party, who also feel this thing. So it is something that's out there and we need to look at.
Let me on. Honorable Mendes.
And what's the CEO, from your presentation, I noticed that your KPAs are a repetition of past, just like Chairperson is alluded to. But I have a problem with your KPIs. Their status is declining, especially the 2013-2014. Now, my question is, if that was the case of you prioritizing, what method did you use to prioritize? Because your indicators are what you have done. And if they have declined so much that they are only in 26, your target was 26. I'm very worried. Which areas did you prioritize in that 26 indicators? Secondly, you are coming up with very wonderful programs, the NYF, the Youth Building Program. But my problem is, again, the awareness in terms of accessing the NYDA. How are you giving out information to rural areas? Because you are not known. Even in the township, there are areas where people, you will find the SMEs, but they do not know how to access the funding and the grant that you are telling us about. And also, I share the very same sentiments with Umama Lamin. You're saying you have 14 branches. I'm not sure how 14 branches are feeding South Africa. Perhaps if ever you will detail for us each branch and responsibility areas of each branch, as well as your allocation of offices. Where are your offices exactly allocated? Because you hardly find an NYCA office. You would find it somewhere deep in the CBD. And when you go to the township, even in these small township shopping centers, you don't see even a pamphlet that is telling you about the NYDA and their programs. Lastly, Chairperson, I think it's high time that we allocate that time we have agreed upon before the recess, that we need to allocate a day or two to each of these entities, so that it can give us a thorough breakdown of what they are doing. Because what we are given now is just whatever it is, but we cannot make sense of it because there is no breakdown. It's not giving us direction. It's not giving us the crux of the matter. We are dealing with complaints. I agree with what has been said here. It might be an assumption, but it's a fact. Whenever you are confronted with the public outside, the same question and the same complaint arises. So we need to really deal with that. But we cannot deal with it if we don't have facts. Thank you, Trevor.
Thank you. Member Nobis?
Thank you, Chair. So sometimes it's really a disadvantage to speak at last because you tend to repeat what others have said, but I will avoid that appetite. Maybe for me, Chair, is to emphasize to the CEO on the issue of the turnaround strategy. I'm happy that he's raising this because it's a public outcry, the issue of how NYDA is being run, the image of the of the NYDA. I would really appeal to the CEO that it should not be something on paper. It should be something that is implemented and we get a report and also copies if possible of that strategy. And I would also appreciate that there are some means to reduce the expenditure. If you look at the high salary expenditures indicated here, because it's one of the concerns as well, especially to young people, that look, we are not getting anything from what NYDA, but what we hear is the big salaries that they have, the expensive events that they are hosting. I'm happy that this as well, that they are finally looking at that. And I also have a feeling that due to the merger of these previous two institutions, UMSOBU and the Youth Commission, definitely you might have irrelevant skills, if I can put it, on staff, or maybe the dulling of staff, as they have indicated here. And that one must be attended to as well, because you might have people who do not have the vision that you have, but who are relevant at that time, Chair, in 94, when they were first employed. And if they are still there in 2014, not being the youth anymore, they might not be relevant in terms of their skills. One will also support that. And maybe lastly, to emphasize, CEO, that maybe you look at the challenge of the NYDA, the visibility. It's one of the things that we've been saying now and then. I think it's where really the structure is lagging. You have a population of about 50 plus million in this country, and the majority there are young people. Now, if you have 14 offices in the whole country, that one says that there is a problem regarding the visibility and the accessibility of the agents. Maybe my contribution would be that maybe if you pull up talks on those areas, maybe we can see something changing within the institution. But I would say in terms of the relevance of the agency, we need it in the country. It's what we need. Young people are disparate outside. Now, if you we can't question whether you are relevant or irrelevant in the country. It's a matter of structuring yourself, making sure that you do what the youth is expecting you to do and what the parliament has asked you to do. But with the agent in itself is what is relevant to the youth of this country. I'm going to start.
Yeah, well, but remember, experience is the best teacher. So if we still have those who were there in 1994 until today, in fact, they should use them more in terms of them being able to achieve their mandate. So let's pass fast.
Thank you, Jay. You're doing quite well in pronouncing that. Jefferson, two questions to the representatives. The first one is in terms of your role and mandate, and I'm just quickly quoting a few words from your document. You must partner and assist organs of state. You must promote a uniform approach by all organs of state. But then also, as part of your mandate or functions, you say, you must provide career guidance services and you must create and administer databases of employment opportunities. I've previously served on the Portfolio Committee of Labour, and these last two functions, career guidance services as well as databases of employment opportunities, also appear in their mandate, especially with the recent development of public employment services. So my question is first, Are you engaged in talks with the Department of Labour to try and find common ground or try and find a synergy or achieve better effectiveness rather than having two databases, etc.? If so, if you could just tell us what that those talks have already, you know, resulted in. And then my second question is just, we've now heard about your problems with your high salary expenditure. Have you set yourself an internal target in terms of your budget, what you believe should be an ideal percentage or a target percentage of your total budget for salaries of your own staff? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Mine will just be a one-line. I would really like to comment neither on the attempts to have a skills audit, and I would like to know whether they are in a position to pronounce on details, i.e. date, time, and so forth, taking into consideration a number of other things that might have an effect on having a skills audit on them regarding the necessary versus the employee's rights and so forth. Thank you, Chair.
Please hold mic and get ready.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think I love this committee. One chair.
Much better. Thank you, Chair. No, I'm just saying that I think I love this committee. But also, it will be a challenge if we create a perception that it's a crime and a sin to be easy. It will be a problem. But I'm not saying we're doing that. It will be a challenge. Two, Chair. This committee will assist NYDA to ensure that it focuses to the things that we believe that the country wants this body to focus on. The side issue, let me also appreciate the presence of both DM, particularly from the DM responsible for his presence in this meeting. Chair, I appreciate that there's somewhere where you spoke about partnership with the Department A, but one would have appreciated that you do make an emphasis of appreciation that there are things that you need to partner so that you avoid unnecessary costs and also duplication. The acknowledgement it will have. The other departments that my colleagues also may cite an example, but almost all. I.e., there's a new department which deals with small business. I'm sure when you are coming back presenting your business plan, we'll talk to that. Secondly, and it's not a thing I'm not going to count, in terms of your turnaround strategy, which is good that you are also mindful and also much alive that there will be retrenchment, whatever word you use. But there must be an exit plan for those individuals, not only relying to place them in other departments because they might not be properly skilled for those positions or vacancies that are vacant in other departments. So one, moving forward, would like to hear that when you present a new structure and also your exit plan, which is going to be holistic, because others, they need to be economically sustainable outside the NYDA. The marketing strategy moving forward when you come back, you need to talk to that, which also will amplify the role and the understanding of the
how your satellite offices here within the provinces, whether do they appreciate that? Because those are the ones also need to talk to that. But there must be a national marketing strategy, which will also be seen in your business plan, and also specific targets and with the responsible people to deal with those issues. The other one, coming from 1994 up to date, this new blueprint, NDP, one would have appreciated that when you talk also you are mindful that you are also in line with that blueprint. We also talked to other issues that we have raised that I'm sure you'll be addressing them. Your turnaround strategy, I totally agree, there must be somewhere where you finish turning. Because why I'm saying that, I know you have set up the target in terms of when you envisage that plan on paper will be complete, then you start action it. Because if you assume that you are not requesting the budget from the both sides of your mouth, you want to increase, but also you're still turning around. What informs? You advertise, but you're still, you haven't concluded your turnaround strategy as a man. So I would say it will help, because I agree with Honorable Majami that we don't feel a sense that, yeah, one billion, I'm happy that in the last 2 years that you have in your table, you didn't require anything. So it was, I assume that anyway, this department wants the 1 billion, but it's not reflecting here, which means you were mindful, but I didn't hear that one from your mouth. And you have to change your M to B so that it becomes 1 million. I know it's a computer error. The very last one, Jay, for me, you should also look, you have to, it's not just something that you need to decide, to have a very good working, alive relationship in utilizing the Tucson Center that are throughout the country, which will deal with the issues of non-visibility of NYDA and the in the rural areas and other areas, because we would not necessarily want you to invest on infrastructure in terms of offices and also growing up the structure in terms of human resource without also dealing with their core mandate. So I'm saying that let's deal with that one, and I'm sure you'll talk to that with moving forward. Chairperson, other than that, I'm happy with the purpose of today's meeting in terms of outlining the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Lesoma. She's also the whip of the committee. Are you ready to respond? Okay. About you. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson, through yourself and the Deputy Minister. To allow the CEO to touch on questions related to the turnaround strategy and the admin issues, the Deputy Chair will briefly touch on the matters, myself on the relevant questions related to relevance, importance, and some of the other matters. If through yourself, the CEO.
The order is that we do not have the CEO responding on a turnaround because we didn't see the turnaround strategy. The members of the committee, they decided to highlight on its own turnaround strategy.
Noted. The CEO will mostly come.
In fact, also to make you aware that we are 10 minutes late now. Most of the issues that we said were comments and advices. So try to respond quickly, but I also want you to submit responses in writing so that by the time when you respond, when you present the turnaround strategy, you should be able to match what has been said today and what the turnaround strategy is going to say. Is that okay, members? Okay, sure.
So thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me start with the question of the salary structure. I won't speak to the turnaround strategy, but the turnaround strategy will speak in detail to some of the issues that the committee members have raised. The executive positions that have been advertised, I would caution against the freeze on those, because some of these executive positions that were advertising are a necessity to support the running of the institution. For an example, we do not anticipate that a restructuring process can suggest to us that we don't need to have a chief financial officer. We don't expect that the eternal strategy will say to us that we don't need an executive manager for partnerships when, you know, bringing partners and getting lobbying and advocating for youth development in other sectors is such an important factor. So I think that we have taken a thoroughly analyzed decision in deciding which positions we're advertising. I must say that part of what will come through in the turnaround strategy is some of the issues that are being raised. There is intention to reduce the number of senior management positions as they currently are in the structure. In fact, we are having plans without preempting the outcomes of the restructuring processes. We anticipate that there will be significant reduction on the number of senior management positions, as it were. The question on the additional funding vis-à-vis the track record on the regular expenditure and wasteful expenditure, I want to say that the past must be just supposed with the present. The reality is that, yes, indeed, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, there would have been those challenges that have led to significant amounts of irregular expenditure, 133 million and so forth. But I want to say today that after the conclusion of the audit by the Auditor General, in the 2013-2014 financial year, we are sitting with an irregular expenditure of just about under 16 million. That is a drastic improvement from where we were. And the intention and the target is irregular expenditure in the current year moving forward. So I think that any fears that might be there in relation to compliance and governance issues should be allayed from a committee member's point of view. The legislative review, I'll leave for the deputy minister or chairperson to deal with those. The Youth Development Institute, the intention of the institute is that we have agreed with the Universities of Johannesburg that the institute must be a Section 21 company, and the intention is for the institute therefore to be self-sufficient. What we have put forward is 4 million rents, which is seed funding. The university has also put seed funding also in form of infrastructure provision for the institute. The intention is for the institute to have an executive director at the establishment, as well as a fundraising component. So the board of the institute, together with the executive director, will decide how it will happen, whether it's a fundraising company that is brought on board or whether it's full-time resource that is provided for in the structure of the institute. So that is how we envisage and see the institute moving forward. I think I won't spend much on the questions that were raised by Honorable Gamin. We try to stick to the agenda as provided for us, so we focus on the role and the mandate as well as key issues. The detail of the program as well as the budget allocations and so forth, we will provide. And I want to agree that the proposed workshop is something that we feel also as an agency that will assist us to try and make honorable members to understand the agency, which might assist in how we engage and understand the operations of the agency moving forward. So we would fully agree that maybe they need to indeed prioritize that decision does happen. On the issues of relevance, I'll leave them to the chairperson. The question of KPAs, the repositioning was also informed by the Fourth Democratic Government. The portfolio committee at the time has advised, we agree with them, that with the 70-50 KPIs, we're spreading ourselves too thin. We're trying to be a jack of all trades with the risk of being a master of none. And in that regard, we then said, because we have a limited budget, we need to find ways of prioritizing areas that can give us maximum impact, taking into account the challenges that are facing young people in the main. And in our assessment, we felt that education and skills development remains one of the biggest barriers of young people to access employment, decent employment, and that, as well as ability to start any sustainable business enterprise. So that's what informed our assessment. The question of access to NYDA and so forth, indeed we agree, and we've also highlighted that as one of the areas that needs to be addressed. And also what will come through in the turnaround strategy is taking the agency more to where young people are. This will speak to, amongst others, usage of outreach mobile vehicles that are able to go into communities with them fully equipped to be able to ensure that a young person is able to apply for a grant for that matter at the point where the vehicle is, and other means. The usage of more local media, in terms of local newspapers, local news stations, and more of community outreach, which are targeted at areas that are far away geographically to where we are located. So some of these issues will express themselves through the turnaround strategy. The location of our offices, yes, I agree. Our offices are in the CBD area, but we inherited these offices from Msubongo Youthline. And the reality is that the cost of establishing physical offices is too high. We think that we must find better ways of engaging and having access to presence of the NYDA using other means. What we see in the general strategy as well is how the agency tends to use technology to reach young people. How can young people use their cell phone, for example, to apply for a grant or a solo machine scholarship fund, and then so forth and so forth. Those issues will be coming through internal strategy that we have made reference to. The other issues, I think, in the interest of time, I'm going to leave them with an understanding that we will provide detailed written responses as well as the answers that will be. But I think before I stop, I would want to say, even though I deliberately left the issue of my salary to the chairperson because I'm appointed by the board, I think the board is better placed. But I would want to say that I'm a qualified salary accountant. And if the honorable members can speak to me, that qualified chartered accountant who is a CEO of an agency or of government earns less than me somewhere else with same responsibilities, I want to say before the committee happens that I'm prepared to take a salary cut. I'm saying I'm a qualified professional, and I think that other qualified professionals who have the same responsibilities as me are probably rewarded even more than I am. So I don't think that because I work for the agency I must be treated differently. But I think I'll leave it there, Chair.
Well, I think the CEO, we do know are meeting the agenda to deal with all related matters with respect to the footprint. But safe to say that we have 14 branches, and these branches are not just in the CBDs. They are widespread in all provinces. We have undertaken an assessment of their performance. The CEO, the chair, and I will be going to those different branches to particularly assess their performance. We are, however, more concerned about the performance of our local youth offices, because that is where young people are exposed to the products and services of the agency at the local level. We are particularly concerned about them because our role as national youth development agency is limited to linking their systems with ours, making sure that within those offices we provide marketing collateral. And when municipalities renege on the commitment that they have made with respect to the partnership, we then feel that it behoves to politicians engage. We must also say that our footprint is not only limited to our operation in the office. We have entered into various partnerships with other institutions. I can cite an example with the city of Cape. In the past 2 months, we have undertaken a program on substance abuse with the city of Cape Town, where we're also engaging young people about our products and services. This weekend, we will be undertaking an event with the University of the Western Cape, where we will be speaking to young people about opportunities that are available, especially commitments made by FIFA and IDC, consistent with employment. But we'll also be talking to them about the jobs fund. So these are partnerships that we would have undertaken. I must also indicate that this year alone we have undertaken more than 100 youth dialogues. So we want to bring the National Youth Development Agency to young people. We have spoken to young people about our products and services. We received constructive criticism from young people. We responded to the most difficult of questions. And we will continue to do that. So we are indeed worried also about these allegations that are made, about the fact that we have a political...
Order, Chairperson. Order. Is the CFO, he's saying as we are making allegations, can you clarify that?
No, I'm not thinking about Parliament. Okay. About allegations that would have been made by constituencies out there about the fact that we serve a politically based constituency. Well, we must say that if those constituencies cannot choose sides to these allegations, we are prepared to appropriately respond to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Before I hand over to again to the Deputy Minister, Chairperson, on the question of relevance and importance, very important question that yourself, others have raised. In September 2013, Pondering Panda conducted a public perception survey on the NYEA. The results of that survey was that 83% of young people in the country answered yes to the question that the NYEA is an important and relevant institution in the country. Secondly, Chairperson, after that, a customer satisfaction survey was conducted, and 95% of young people who walk into an NYEA branch feel satisfied with the service they receive. What I suggest, Chairperson, is that perhaps the perceptions are correct, that we need indeed to improve visibility. And I think linked to the question that it's not free to improve visibility. A branch of the NYEA costs between 3 to 5 million rand. And I think related to that question, Chair, is that the NYEA is a people-driven organization. The Department of Basic Education has a 95% so salary bill. Why? Because teachers are required to deliver basic education. Our branches have youth development offices to deliver products and services. So on the one hand, Chair, we either take the approach of saying we've got to increase the 5-member staff members in Kimberley to reach Northern Cape, or we outsource, as Van Day say does, and we can reduce our salary bill from 22 to 25%, but that means using consultants to do so. So, Chair, we need to really look at how is the money being spent, a very important question, and on what. 21.7 million young people in the country, certainly many are going to be unhappy because 400 million can't reach that amount of young people. But then, on the question again of importance and relevance, I received an email on the 7th of August from the Honorable Toby Chan, the Shadow Minister for Small Enterprise Development of the DA, asking for a meeting to share the valuable work the NYEA is doing with small business and enterprise. And we first agreed to share with him the valuable work that we are doing on small business development on the 1st of September. So certainly, Chair, I mean, again, if questions whether or not you know, the perception are true that the NYEA is relevant or important. But we must agree and acknowledge that we have to do more. I think the article that was in the New Age, Brian Shishi, not politically connected, not a politician, a young person who was interested in diving, who applied to the NYEA processes, got a grant, 46,000 rand to study a diving course, and is now employed in the diving industry that is not friendly, especially to young black people, is an example that we do have those beneficiary stories. We need to do more and expose them and acknowledge that, Chair. But I think that the question again, as I said, importance and relevance from the two surveys, from the meetings we've been requested to share with, from the beneficiaries, really raise questions about whether they are true or not. Chair, just last 2 points on salary structure. Chair, as I indicated, the board would ask that we have to judge what we pay was from the CEO salary from the previous term was reduced from 2.4 million to 1.9. But it's also based on performance. We signed a performance contract with the CEO and we are judging the amount of money that is being paid, what the performance is. Why is the turnaround strategy so late? Not to answer questions. But the CEO was only appointed in June. Chair, as you know, I mean, when you run an organization, we started with a vision in March 2013. We changed the vision. We then adopted a strategy. We changed the strategy. The CEO was appointed in June, 3 months ago, and he has since developed, or is in the process of developing a turnaround strategy. So we think that the way an organization is run, Chair, we are doing it in a correct way. We started with the vision strategy, and now we're dealing with the structure. It would be incorrect for us to start with the structure and then say, let's amend the structure and the budget, because we only amended the strategy and the vision in March. So perhaps we just need some time, Chair, to provide the results in line with how the organization is currently being run. Chair, the last point. I sit on the NSFAS board. NSFAS provides financial assistance. It doesn't provide health and well-being for young people. So the National Youth Policy and the Act provides an agency that is able to coordinate mainstream and provide products and services that other agencies don't do. So we think that what we need to do more, which honorable members are correct, we need to scale up our work, we need to be more visible, we need to be more detailed, and we need to reach more young people. They couldn't disagree more.
But that comes with investment in time, energy, and resources, Chair. And as we have stated, the issues highlighted, we simply don't have them at this current point in time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what we need to probably ask the NYDA to do either in the workshop or in a longer meeting that we want to have with them is to say to them that beyond the role and mandate of the NYDA, would like them to present on their structure, would like them to present on their budget, and would like them to present also on the progress that has been made with regards to the AG's findings over the last 3 years or so, which is the tenure of the current board, so that we are explicit in what we expect of them, and we then engage with them on the basis of what we ask them to present. The second thing is that we convened a meeting with close to 30 youth formations 2 or 3 weeks ago. And the purpose of that meeting was not only an introductory meeting, but was also to engage with youth formations about the initial work that we want to do on the National Youth Policy, on the amendment of the NYDA Act, and also the Integrated Youth Development Strategy. And once we have concluded these three important legislative and policy and strategy documents, the direction of the NYDA will inevitably change. The turnaround strategy which they are talking to is solely on the basis of their structure, but the direction will definitely change. And the reason why I'm saying this, and MP Kado was present in the meeting and he had an opportunity to raise some of this issues. Unfortunately, he was an unnoticed flower pot because he said he raised nothing of these issues that he's raising now about what is the substance of legislative amendments.
My question is related to the National Youth Development Agency, which was in presence at the meeting in question.
The mistake that was made in 2008 was to assume that the NYDA is a mini-government, and whatever youth problems that the country is confronted with will be resolved by the NYDA. And I think that's why we expected them to stretch themselves far too wide and too thin on the challenges, needs, interests, and aspirations that confront young people. And that is why we want to look into the Integrated Youth Development Strategy and all these policies and the Act, so that, as the President said, the NYDA is just but an implementing agency which is part of the overall youth development strategy of government. And I think that as soon as we are clarified in relation to that, I think the better. The issue of the 1 billion rand is going to be persistent because you left two institutions, which is the Umsobongo Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission, which was 3 times more than what the NYDA has. But the NYDA expected to do 3 times more than what both institutions were doing. And I think that it may also help for the NYDA in their next meeting in our next interaction to get into details about what the or what the justification is, firstly for the 200 million rand and also why 1 billion rand. And finally, the NYDA is for all young people, irrespective of political affiliation, irrespective of their location, rural, township, urban. And I think that the main challenge is for us to expand access for all young people. We have asked the DPME to develop a tool for us to be able to and make an unannounced visit to NYDA local offices and also to their branches. But also that system will help us to help the NYDA to develop their products better and also in our engagement with SAGA, so that we make those local offices operational. And we're quite I myself have benefited a lot from the contributions that colleagues have made in relation to the presentation. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much. Lastly, from my side, youth development remains a critical component of the full realization of the vision of the new and better South Africa. So, NYDA, you are still relevant. We want to give you all the support that you need. I will take your turnaround strategy presentation to the committee as a confession. People who are Catholics will explain to you when we say confession, what is expected of you. So they will make you understand better. If the Catholic, okay, will make them explain that to you. So I think the DM has covered the way forward quite correctly. What I also want to emphasize from what he said is that we're also interested to know your intergovernmental relations, your visibility, spoke about it. The changing of these negative perceptions, especially by the media, about the commission and the reduction of salaries and all that. So I think we'll be more interested to hear about that. Thank you very much, and thank you for the presentation. Please quietly, if you want to move out, do that so that we then allow the PSC to come before the committee. Thanks. Good morning and welcome, Dr. Zembu. If you can please occupy the seats, your default.
As far as you are concerned, it's a standard practice, as I've indicated to you.
And I cannot recall in the past where actually we were unable to keep to that standard of making presentation available to the members of the portfolio committee. Our sincerest apology.
Is it in the term term? If you are a leader, you start by apologizing. That undermines everything that you will be saying. I don't know, that's how I was taught, that's how I grew up, that you take responsibility so that you don't have to in any way be made to apologize. You know, you try by all means. Not that when you're wrong, you don't have to, but you have to apologize. If the practice has been that at least give the portfolio committee document 2 days prior to the meeting, and with the new fairly established committee, then you decide not to do that. I have a problem with that. I must be honest with you. I have a serious problem with that. We discussed this matter earlier as the committee, and we took a decision. But before we come to that decision, I want to allow members to comment on this issue. So that when we go forward, you should also understand what is it that we want from you. You should understand the relationship that we expect, how we're going to work with yourselves and the committee, you know. In between, what is more important is respect, mutual respect. You need to respect us so that people can also respect you. So we want people to take responsibility, because we are all getting paid. There's no one of you volunteering here. Take charge as the leader. Comply. Because public service and administration, monitoring and evaluation is a key component of government. So if people who are responsible in driving this critical vehicle of making sure that public servants, they comply, they perform, they uphold to ethics and all other related public service conduct, are not, if people who are supposed to be driving that aren't compliant, how do you expect other public service entities or members, you know, to then comply? It will be very difficult, you know, even if we oversight PSC, they know they never submit documents on time. It's okay. We are not happy about that approach. If that's how you operate, we are not impressed, we don't like it. You are adults. I don't want us to be exchanging unpleasant words. It's not what we want. We are trying to take South Africa forward. Please move with us. We don't want this kind of attitude. It's wrong that they think. We don't want it. And we're not going to accept it. For you to fly in such, I mean, how many are you now? How many thousands of rands have you spent in flying down, sleeping in hotels, to come and present a 13-page document, of which we appreciate 14-page PowerPoint Mohammed. PowerPoint presentation, slides, 14 slides to us. You spent more than 100,000 to be here, but you failed to give us that on time. You are undermining us. We don't want that. We don't want it. You are undermining us. We don't want that. Nah, personally, I feel undermined. I don't want that. I take my responsibility and my employment very serious. So I'm not going to allow other people to undermine the authority and the responsibility that millions of people gave to all of us here. So I'm not happy. I'm very disappointed at the commission. This morning when the NYTA presented, I think you were here, you've listened. We said this is a marriage, and it's a very difficult marriage. It's a marriage of inconvenience of property. If you want to fail equally, we are going to fail. So we don't want that. We don't want to fail, unfortunately. Members?
Yeah, thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, I also would like to register my dissatisfaction, the fact that this presentation has not been sent. And I want to categorically state that we're engaging in national and public issues here. And actually, it's a downright shame today that we have this scenario for us as members of Parliament representing South Africa, not having an opportunity to peruse a document, also to interrogate the Public Service Committee. And perhaps, Chair, we must remind the Public Service Commission that they are a knowledge-based institution. And my question now is, what are we promoting here today for South Africa as a whole by responding to Parliament in this fashion? This body is actually supposed to keep this committee informed on public administration. And where is the innovation if we have to come to a meeting of this nature in submitting something to the chairperson for, so that we can prepare ourselves? The Public Service Commission have 311 employees in its possession, 14 commissioners. Why is it that we are representing in this session here today? You know, the commissioner chairperson, when they conduct inquiries, they have powers to summon people, just as us. And even so, they also have powers to keep people in abeyance, to suspend people for a certain period of time if they not adhere to some of these things. So we want to do that. And really, we don't want to remain in attendance for us to prepare and then ask the questions. So what the Public Service Commission is actually doing here today is hindering us as Parliament to engage properly and also to perform our functions here today. So I'm not sure whether we have to send the Public Service Commission backing. But what we need to say to one another, we will need, there's a definite need that we will or must engage again after this. How are we going to do this? Are we going to do this at the cost of the Public Service Commission? Are they inviting us on their own cost? So we really have to decide that, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Commissioner, can you tell us when did you receive the invitation? One. Two, the behavior that we are seeing now, is it 100% your responsibility? You are responsible for what has happened now, which is bad. Or is it a collective? Yeah, if all the other commissioners are included on this. And secondly, the last time we met, it was the same thing, Chairperson. It was the same thing with the PSC. The last time we met, where they received, we attended the meeting to prove that indeed they were invited. And we're running for the budget vote. There was so much chaos with the commission. We are across the street. We were so embarrassed. So now, Commissioner, you are failing the person who appointed you, which is the President. You are failing the institution that endorsed your appointment, which is the Parliament. Now, can the Parliament invoke Section 196? Because you've got the right to do that. We've got the right to evoke that section. And do our own investigation as what exactly is happening at the PSC. Because there is nothing that is coming forth. You know, if you listen to the SONA 2014, the President insisted that we should do away with the bucket system. Today, this is what the Commission is supposed to report to us. And we are paid every month. Huge salary, taxpayers' money. So you are undermining everybody, undermining the President, you are undermining the Parliament. I wonder to whom are you accounting for? Including, I don't think, is it a collective decision or is it your office? Because we need to get it, Chair. I think first I need to get, when did you receive the invitation? Is this the collective behavior that you are seeing or is it solemnly designed to his office? Because we need to check whether is there collectivity? Because for me, there's a problem in this commission. Thank you, Chairperson. So I don't think we can continue with this. No. No, they have to go back home. And people need to write that they've used the taxpayers' money for traveling so that the President reads on the paper. Thank you.
Thank you. Is it? It's a small area, Chair. Thanks for the opportunity that you give me when I was thinking of raising my hand. But Chair, I think I'll make this statement in fairness based on the sentiments that you shared with us.
that I agree, Honorable Majami, that previously in our BC meeting, it was a chaos. But also what I would like to say that NYDA from the initial engagement as today, there has been an improvement. And the commission were there, also physically there. I'm not too sure. The question that I would also want to hear in response to Honorable Majamini's question, do you really recognize that there's a ministry that will report to? Did you send this report over to them? Because if you have, was it tempted also to, through the chair, to allow the DM to respond to that? Thank you. But if they haven't, there is a serious problem. This is what the chair is. We feel very, very much undermined. We create these institutions for a reason, the ruling party in particular. And we would like you to walk that road with us. We can force you to a limit, but if you don't, we'll get better one motive to do that. Thank you.
I want to quickly reflect on your legislative mandate, your values and principles. Professional ethics, efficient economic and effective use of resources, accountability, good human resource management, and career development. So, this is what you're supposed to be doing in terms of your legislative mandate, but you fail to submit a 15-slide document to the portfolio committee, then how are you going to monitor the entire public service? It's a problem that I'm doing. It's a serious problem. Can you give us a response?
Chairperson, as I've indicated to say that I take full responsibility for this mishap, and I've indicated that there was no intention on the part of the Commission, that the standard practice of providing, you know, the presentations well in advance should actually be what is okay now. So that is what I've said, and I'm repeating it once again. I wanted also to indicate that now we did receive, the tentative invite about our 2 weeks back, and then that is now from the Office of Institution Supporting Democracy, which was returned to the DG, and that's an official one will be sent to us once the acting speaker, you know, come back. And we did receive that letter a week. And after that, we then made the start preparations, and the commission has been informed, and we did circulate, you know, whether some of us will come here or we should be in Pretoria. And then the majority of the commissioners, you know, let's have our quarterly meetings. We normally have our quarterly meetings of plenary every 3 months. And then many of us decide once again that we should come here. So we are here this Monday with a plenary meeting, and the call is so congested because it's something that was not within our plan, but we have to change our program to accommodate these two presentations, that is yesterday as well as today, which we are making here. So once again, I'm saying
that you engage elsewhere, that is, it has got nothing to do with us. So now our communication dates back from the 4th of August. That's when you were informed about this meeting. Whether you were presenting in another committee or doing what, unfortunately, say it has got nothing to do with this committee. All we want to hear from you is that why didn't you give us the documents on time so that you should prepare for the meeting? That's all.
I did indicate that now the issue of submitting documents to the portfolio committee is responsibility of our administration. There is a standard practice, and we normally do that. And our assumption was that now that has been submitted. I only came to pick it up when I came here. let out. By the way, there is a concern that now this was not submitted. Otherwise, had I been aware, I could have interacted. But what we normally know is that now we've never experienced this kind of an experience where documents are not submitted timely. So that is why I'm saying now, we sincerely apologize for that. There was no intention to undermine this honorable language. We have never experienced that ever since 2009. So I'm saying to you, we sincerely apologize on that.
Take charge of your administration, because now you're embarrassed. You're not responsible for that, but it's you as the head is embarrassed now. So take charge. Hold your people accountable. They're not volunteering, they're paid. Hold them accountable, so take charge. That's all we can say to you. Because it's not you. We understand you don't deal with this. It's not your responsibility. You give instructions, you expect things to happen. Now at this level, at this platform, you're embarrassed. Because at the end of the day, the buck stops with you. We can't call your PA or the secretary and ask a question. It doesn't have the authority to come and speak here. But you do. You represent the question. So it's a word of advice, take charge. We are not happy. Members have said, even in our first presentation, there was chaos. Now we continue with it. We don't want it. This is long marriage. A marriage of 5 years in community of property is a very long marriage. So we want to start on a correct footing. Not exchanging unpleasant words like I said earlier on. We want to take South Africa forward together. Every time when we have to meet, it has to be a happy relationship. We should look forward to it. So, members, I'm going to propose that we don't take a presentation because it is 12 o'clock. We are also challenged in terms of time. This venue is booked for a memorial service. If you could see other members who are here for the memorial service, start walking in as early as 11:30. So we need to then give the commission an alternative date. I want to propose that they come on the 10th of September. There's a problem for you that I want us to also adopt finally. We apologize for the unfruitful and wasteful expenditure. I hope the Auditor General will understand and you'll be able to explain to him or her as to why on this date you just came to Cape Town and you never presented. I want to excuse you and your team so that the committee can quickly summarize and continue with this with their program.
Copy of the program.
when we can host our workshop. When Thursday evening, Friday, Saturday, until late. Please not agree. Those are the three days that we can try, you know, not even now, in the next month or so. Unless if we do that. I think we need to agree. I need to advise on that one.
Chairperson, thank you so much. Some of these responsibilities, they go also with sacrifices. I'll urge that the committee members support you in the notion of sacrificing one of the weekends. Thank you.
Secretary? Yeah, sure. No, I don't have a problem. I'll support that. With the request that that workshop be held in Devon, because I'll be anything that time.
So people who have submitted that are in majority in this committee, isn't it? Yeah. You? No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4. So, okay, it's fine. So you agree that we can look at low days? Meglu? Are we agreeing? Are we in agreement? Because if we try Monday is constituency day, then no. Tuesday is parliament. Wednesday parliament, Thursday parliament, but Thursday evening, Friday, Saturday, we can have that. Eh? So we'll look at the most convenient thing. Next, we'll do that, and then that will be communicated. Now, members, yes, Mr.
There is a good station as well, but I'm from the other side.
I also grew up in Uthaiden Farms, but my...
May I just ask, quickly look at my diary, and I was wondering, while we are here with our diaries, can we perhaps look at the 19th? The Friday the 19th, those days of September? That's the value of the fact that we are looking at specific dates now. May I, as a second alternative, propose the 5th of September? The Friday is the 5th of September.
Next week, eh? 2 times. Week after. So the 5th will be on Friday. Okay, then it says the fourth evening, then it's registration and other things, and then we start with the conference on the 5th. Well, I'll sacrifice. I'm not here that week, but I will sacrifice. Okay. It's fine. Are we done? We agree. That day? Yeah. Derek? We'll shortly today we'll try to communicate. Not today, tomorrow or so. Yeah, we're from Pretoria, so it will be convenient if we are here. Sure. Okay. Pretoria, it's fine. I like Pretoria. It's a choice. Can we then go quickly go through the proposed program, which is subject to change, especially after we have had our Lokota. We're proposing that the 20th we have a briefing, which is today, that on the 27th we have a briefing by the Auditor General on the use of annual reports as an override tool. And then on the 3rd we have a briefing by the Department of Planning, Performance Monitoring and Evaluation on the Interministerial Committee. And then on the 10th, briefing by the National School of Government on its state of readiness, its progress, projects, and collaboration with other relevant issues. And on the 17th, briefing by the Department of Public Service and Administration on integrity management in public service, real actions, processes, and the legal framework. I want to propose that we have a briefing by the Auditor General
on the Fed. And we have the briefing by the Department of Planning, Performance Monitoring and Evaluation on the 27th. I want to make those two changes. Is that in order? Okay. Can we then get a mover? A mover?
Yes, sir. I will support that, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable
Foundation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Chair, may I just ask, my apologies, but I've just realized that I myself have got some seriously on the 6th of September. And since you also have a problem with that weekend, can you...
No, the vision has a... I'm only occupied Tuesday and Wednesday, but Thursday going forward, okay?
The next one, Chair, can I just ask what the committee members' programs would look like on the 12th?
The 12th? September. Let's look at the diary. 12 September, it will be a Thursday.
It's again the Friday, starting on the Thursday evening, the 11th.
The 11th.
And then continue until the 13th.
So 11, 12, 13. That's fine for me. That's fine for me. Hmm? We change it. Yeah, but let's which is the date? Then 11, 12, 13. Okay. Okay. Members, you remember my goal? I think it's you or if I don't know. You've made proposals that will allocate responsibilities. Are you happy with that? Yeah, I think I heard you saying that. Yeah. I get you. Now, look, if you're happy with that, if you're happy with that, that's what we've been planning. If the opposition feels comfortable with that, because if you look at the nature of our portfolio, it's huge. We won't be able to make any justice if every time we have to sit on one issue, all of us. So it will definitely help and shake the department. So if you are doing that, it's fine. Give me time. I will work on this, and then I will also present on the during the what is this the report. I will present that as well. It's a good idea. I think we are also for it. Let them down.
So that it doesn't fall through the cracks. Earlier on, you had suggested that we bring in the PSC on the Wednesday of the 10th. Does that still stand? Okay. Does it still stand? Okay.
That brings us to the end of our meeting. Thank you very much for your cooperation and your thoughtful participation, and to both DMs, thank you very much as well for your attendance. And that's the question, Kelebor.
Hmm?